everybody, and welcome back to another team preview here on South Harmon. I am Eric Bank, and joined by Koopa again as well, as today we're going to go over the Jacksonville Jaguars today. So head coach still Doug Peterson, offensive coordinator Press Taylor. A lot of talk about him last year, but they kept him around. Some of the key players who ended up leaving. So Calvin Ridley left in free agency. We'll talk about him on tomorrow's pod with the Titans. And then Zay Jones, who was recently just cut from the team. He ended up getting picked up by Arizona, so he is gone as well. Targets and vacated air yards. So 251 targets are gone from this team. 3,174 air yards that they need to replace as well. So quarterbacks, Koopa, pretty easy quarterback room here. I'll let you get started with them.
Yeah, they've got Trevor Lawrence. He's their starter, and he's going to be the starter probably for a good while. He's a solid NFL quarterback. He's maybe not the best quarterback for fantasy purposes. Like, he's never put it all together to have that top tier fantasy season, but he'll be solid and he'll probably be around for a decent while, I think. Mac Jones is, I think, going to be the backup this year. They ended up trading for him from New England, and I think he slots in as the backup over their third quarterback, who's C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard, I think, is that more of veteran presence that's going to be around for a while. Like, potentially they have C.J. Beathard as, like, oh, he's the guy that will be the quarterback too, and Mac Jones will be the emergency third quarterback. And then if Trevor Lawrence is down and they know he's not going to be starting the next week, then Mac Jones would be the guy starting and Beathard will be the QB2 again. So that's how I could potentially see this room going, but I think it's going to be Mac Jones as the backup. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be solid, but his fantasy projections are QB17. Like, nothing where, like, he's not even projected to be a quarterback one. Realistically, if you're talking in dynasty, he's not going to be that difference maker for your team that you're looking for. He's going to be good enough to slot in a spot, but not good enough to really help you win. He has a lot of value in him because he is younger. But I personally am out on a lot of Trevor Lawrence, especially in dynasty takes, just because I think that he's overvalued for the amount of production you're expecting to get out of him. The only thing you're getting is potential long-term viability, because he is a decent NFL quarterback and he's probably not going to lose his job anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm a little bit higher on Trevor Lawrence, just because I do think this weapon group that he has is probably the best he's had in his career. They added two more wide receivers here. Obviously more familiarity with the offense with some of the guys that they have here. So I think this is probably going to be his best weapon core that he's had in his fourth season coming up in the league here so far. So I'm a little bit higher than him, but I agree with you. It's probably like 12th is like his ceiling. So, he can run the ball a little bit too. So he had 70 carries, for 339 yards and 4 rushing touchdowns last year. And that was, after week 14, he was pretty much like gutted from running because he had that really bad ankle injury that he suffered in the Browns game. So he did have some rushing yards at the end of last season, but it wasn't as good as it probably could have been. So he could still be, you know, get you 350 rushing yards, and he can get you 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns. So it's not like he's a zero in the run game at all. So I do think he has a shot to be like back end quarterback one if the offense is as good as I think it's going to be. So on to the running backs now. Travis Etienne obviously is there, the starter. PFF grade last year 77, which was 17th to 59. He started off the year really hot, but he really faded down the end last year. They really need somebody here to step up and kind of be the backup here, take a little bit of the load off of Etienne. D'Ernest Johnson is back as the backup right now. I thought he did a really good job last year. I think he's a really good player for his role. I'm not saying like he's could be a starter somewhere else, but for his role, I think he's a really good player and fit in. Tank Bigsby, very disappointing rookie season. Hopefully he gets his shit together and does a little bit better this year. They also drafted Keelan Robinson from Texas in the fifth round this year. You know, that's a guy that I really do like, but he's more of just a role player. Like, he can run the ball a couple times here and there, but he's not somebody you're ever going to give 15 carries to. He can catch the ball really good out of the backfield, so he can be a little bit of a weapon out of the backfield, give ETN a little breather in the pass game. They also have Lorenzo Lindgaard, UDFA out of Akron they brought in, and Jalen Jackson, a UDFA out of Villanova. They kept four on the initial 53 last year, so I think that's probably what's going to happen again here with ETN, D'Ernest Johnson, Bigsby, and Keelan Robinson is probably going to be the four. Some quick highlights on Keelan Robinson. Overall, Robinson offers questionable value on offense, but he's a tough, explosive athlete with the ability to play on every special teams unit, which might be enough to earn him an NFL roster spot. He also shouldn't be counted out for more of a pass-catching role in the pros. So what do you got on the running backs here, Koopa?
Yeah, Travis Etienne, he's ranked running back 9 for coming into this season. I think a lot of that comes off of the fact that he had so much volume last year, but we saw it towards the end of the year. It kind of drug him down a little bit. Like, as the season went on, he eventually got to the point where he was getting beat up a little bit too much. So hopefully they can take some of that load off. We saw D'Ernest Johnson start to do that towards the end of the season. And it would be nice if he is able to do that and keep ETN essentially healthy through the whole entire season. Tank Bigsby was disappointing. We kind of were hoping that he would do better, but it might be one of those cases where, yeah, he's just not as good as the third round capital you would hope out of a running back. Keelan Robinson, I 100% agree. I don't see him as somebody that's going to regularly... Like, even if they end up catching the injury bug, I don't see Keelan Robinson getting in there and really getting a ton of carries. He might be able to spell somebody for, like, 4 or 5 a game, but I don't see him getting up to that 10-12 number unless, like, everybody goes down with an injury in this running back room. But Robinson does have that special teams ability, so if he shows in camp that he's a good special teams player, he can probably make the roster, and then they'll keep four running backs.
Yeah, Robinson's also a guy in a lot of my rookie drafts. He just goes undrafted. Nobody takes him. So it's somebody I've picked up a lot on waivers, and you never know. Like, he could, you know, end up having a bigger role than I think. And like I said, I was higher on him coming out of the draft. He's always been blocked by studs like Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Brooks last year. Like, he's always been blocked by some really, really good players at Texas. Even Cedric Baxter Jr., Jaden Blue, like all these guys kind of blocked him, but he still managed to get in there and play. And he was always somebody that was reliable that they liked. So on to the wide receivers now. So Brian Thomas Jr., the 2024 first round pick for them. I think he's an upgrade over Calvin Ridley personally, so I'm excited to see what BTJ can do here with Trevor Lawrence. Christian Kirk is back. His PFF grade was 71.1, 48th of 128. Just a super reliable slot receiver for Trevor Lawrence. Gabe Davis, who they brought in, he had a PFF grade of 67.9, 61st of 128. I mean, we know what Gabe Davis is. I don't see his role changing too much in Jacksonville. Like, whatever stat line he probably put up in Buffalo, he probably puts up the same kind of stat line with the Jags. So it's not like I'm expecting him to be some, like, you know, 60, 70 catch, 900-yard receiver this year or anything. It's probably, you know, more closer to what he did in Buffalo and just kind of repeats it. Devin Duvernay they brought in as well, special teams ace, pretty decent wide receiver as, himself, but he's been injured quite a bit during his career the last couple years. Parker Washington, 2023 sixth-round pick out of Penn State. He had a couple flashes there towards the end of the season when they had some injuries. Tim Jones is still there, Elijah Cook, Seth Williams, some UDFAs they've had the last couple years. They did bring in Joshua Cephas, a 2024 UDFA out of Texas San Antonio. I really, really like Cephas a lot. It was one of the guys that I am picking up for free off of waiver wires in my super deep leagues and kind of see what happens here. Like, there's a chance for him if... You know, for a UDFA wide receiver to really make a splash on this roster, like, he could end up being their fifth or sixth wide receiver if he really shows some of his talent that I think he has. Brevin Easton, 2024 UDFA out of Albany, David White Jr., a UDFA out of Western Carolina, and Joseph Skates, a UDFA out of Memphis. They kept 7 wide receivers on their initial 53-man roster last year. So kind of looking at the numbers this year, I think BTJ, Kirk, Gabe Davis, Duvernay, Parker Washington, your top 5 for sure. Then I think it's going to be a battle between Jones, Cook, Seth Williams, Josh Cephas. I think any of those 4 could make up that final roster spot as a 6th receiver. If they keep 7, sure, there might be 2 of those guys. But I'm probably going to go with 6 wide receivers on this one. What do you got for the wide receivers here, Koopa?
Yeah, I agree with the general thoughts around this whole team. Brian Thomas Jr., I think he's an upgrade. I think it will be interesting to see how he comes out year one and performs, because usually we see receivers take a little bit of time to really gel into the NFL. And so until that happens, Christian Kirk, I think, is going to be your fantasy wide receiver 1 on this team. And then Gabriel Davis, as you said, we know what he is. Those are the 3 guys that I'm most interested in. Right now, Christian Kirk is listed as wide receiver 31, Gabe Davis wide receiver 53, and Brian Thomas wide receiver 54. So they have Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas back to back. So in terms of this rookie year, if you think about what has Gabe Davis done for me in the past, if you get a similar thing out of Brian Thomas, that's a solid year 1 for a wide receiver, but that's not going to help you too much in fantasy. So you don't want to be relying on him to help you win year 1, especially knowing that he's a wide receiver that usually got picked at the end of the first round. So if you got picked at the end of the first round, you're probably a contender. And so don't expect Brian Thomas to help your team out in terms of contending. You might want to be flipping him for somebody who has who's actually going to be able to contribute to your team more. But overall, the ending wide receivers, Devin Duvernay, he's probably going to be on the team. The question is, how much does he get in this wide receiver room? Because I think Parker Washington probably plays over him. So that puts Devin Duvernay as the 5th wide receiver. And so when you have, we'll get to it here in a second, but with Evan Engram there at the tight end position, I don't see that you need that 5th wide receiver very often. Outside of the big 3 on this team, Parker Washington, I think he's definitely on the team. Devin Duvernay is a good 5th. And if one of these other guys shows out, I could see them keeping 6. The question just will be, who is that 6th one? Whether that's a Joshua Cephas, a Tim Jones, like they've all had times to shine in the past. They all have an opportunity. The question is just which one will fill that spot.
And then really quickly looking at Brian Thomas Jr., some of his highlights here. Overall, Thomas plays with impressive length, fluid speed, and ball-winning athleticism. If his route efficiency catches up with his natural talent, he will be a dangerous weapon in the NFL. He projects as a quality NFL starter with the upside of T. Higgins. He consistently gets on top of coverage with his quick acceleration. His 1.78 flying 20, so it's the 20-yard dash basically, was the fastest at the combine for wide receivers. 74.2 PFF grade at college, 62 slot snaps, 408 out wide, so probably going to be just an outside receiver. 68 catches, 87 targets, 1,177 yards, 17 touchdowns last year with Jaden Daniels at LSU. 61.2 man coverage grade, not very good though. I need to see some improvement there on him beating man coverage. 5 drops, that's also not good. 5.7 was his yak, tied for 172nd in the class. 13.9 average depth of target, which was 112. So he's not just some deep ball go get it guy. Like, he can run some hitches and outs and stuff like that as well. 15 for 670 yards on deep targets, 8 for 167 out of the slot. So really excited about Brian Thomas Jr. If I'm looking at those projections that you gave up, if he's wide receiver 54 and Gabe Davis 53, I'll take Brian Thomas over Gabe Davis pretty easily this year for me. Onto the tight end. So Evan Engram had a career year last year. PFF grade 71.6, 13 of 72. Just kind of looking at his stats last year, he had 143 targets. His best before that was 115 his rookie season at the Giants. And then 2020, he had 109. So this is a massive, massive, massive jump in targets last year for Evan Engram. That's, like I said, probably his career year. 114 catches, 963 yards, only 4 touchdowns. So I'm expecting that catch number to almost be cut in half. Like, I'm more looking at his 2022 numbers of 98 targets, 73 catches. I don't see him getting up to 114 catches ever again. So I'm expecting probably in the 75 range. Maybe he gets to like 700, 800 receiving yards. And he's never been a big touchdown guy. 4 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns his last 3 years. So he's never a big touchdown guy, but catches and yards in a very high tight end premium league, like a 2-point tight end premium league, love Evan Engram. But other than that, he's probably going to be, you know, what he has in the past. But if you're expecting 114 for 963 again, you're highly mistaken. The rest of the tight ends here, real quick. Brenton Strange, a 2023 second-round pick out of Penn State. He had a 48.6 PFF grade, 65th of 72. Rookie tight ends usually struggle, especially those back-end ones, so I'm not surprised at the grade. Luke Farrell, 2021 fifth-round pick. Josiah DeGuara, who they brought in from the Packers. Josh Peterson, Patrick Murtaugh. And Sean Bowman, a 2024 UDFA out of Rutgers. They kept 3 on their 53-man roster last year. Evan Engram, Strange, Luke Farrell are probably going to be the 3 this year. It could be DeGuara over Farrell as well, since they brought in DeGuara, but I just don't think DeGuara is a really good player, to say. So what do you got on the tight ends, Kuba?
Yeah, Evan Engram, so he is projected right now to be tight end 10, and I think that is about right. As of recording this, I was actually just talking to Mike this morning, and we went through the numbers of Evan Engram when Christian Kirk was on the field and when he wasn't. And when Christian Kirk was on the field, he was right around tight end 10. And then when Christian Kirk got hurt and missed the rest of the season, all of a sudden he became tight end 1. And that's how he finished the year at the top of everybody's minds. That's how he ended up doing so well in fantasy, especially when you're talking about from a warp perspective. So Evan Engram, I understand that, yeah, he's not going to be as good as he was last year, and he probably has a little bit of an inflated value as a result right now. Brenton Strange, he's, in my opinion, he's a blocker. Luke Farrell is the guy that could potentially come in and like get a little bit of passes, but it's really all going to be Evan Engram. And it's going to be those three guys, in my opinion. I'm much like you, don't think Josiah DeGuara is that good. I tried to make him a thing on my fantasy teams for so long in Green Bay, and he just was never able to really hold it down. And I think he was more of a signing of, do we think this guy is any good, in that Green Bay maybe missed something? And I think they're likely going to find out that they did, that Green Bay did not miss something, and that he's just not that good.
The one thing with Engram too is he is super reliable as far as being on the field. So he doesn't get injured very rarely. So that's a guy, like, if you're, you know, kind of punting the tight end position, you don't want to draft Kelce, Laporta, Andrews real high in your redraft leagues. Like, settling for an Evan Engram is like tight end, you know, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range, I think is a good bet, because you know he's going to play for you and be reliable. Onto their offensive line. So they were 27th last year. So not very good. They did make some changes this offseason. Their best player last year was Brandon Scherff. He allowed pressures only on 2.5% of pass plays, the best rate of his career last year. So that was good. But yeah, Cam Robinson was the left tackle last year. PFF grade 65.4, 46 out of 81. They gave him a big deal. this past offseason as well, so he needs to step it up and, you know, earn that money. Walker Little is his backup. His PFF grade was 58.8, 58th of 81, so not great either. Ezra Cleveland, who they brought in from the Vikings via waivers last year, trade, I'm sorry, 59.5 was his PFF grade, 38th of 79, so hopefully he gels more with this offensive line. Tyler Shatley is his backup. Mitch Morse, who they brought in from Buffalo, they did lose their center, or no, they did not, those, he's the backup now, I'm sorry. But Mitch Morse, who they brought in from Buffalo, his PFF grade was 63.9, so 20th of 36 at center last year. Luke Fortner was the starter last year, 2022 third-round pick. His PFF grade was 44.3, 35th of 36, so he was terrible. So Mitch Morse, definitely a major upgrade there at the center position. Brandon Scherff, who I talked about, 67.3 grade, 20th of 79 at guard. Javon Foster, who they brought in the fourth round this year as a backup. The highlights on him, overall, Foster isn't a great bender, and his footwork and technique must continue to improve. But his size, strength, and functional movements are a solid starting point for an NFL team looking for a developmental prospect. He projects as a backup left tackle with a chance to be more. So he was listed as tackle coming into the draft, but it looks like they are going to move him into guard here with the Jags. Right tackle is Anton Harrison, who they drafted in the first round last year. His PFF grade was 53, which is 67th of 81. So they really need him to step up here this coming season after a very bad rookie season. Playing next to Scherff and hopefully with Mitch Morse on his side there, they should be able to get him up to speed. And then Cole Van Lanen is his backup. Kick returners and punt returners are pretty interesting. I'll let you get with them, Koopa.
Yeah, so Devin Duvernay, they signed him from the Ravens, and Devin Duvernay did all those duties for the Ravens, and in my opinion, it was pretty obvious they're signing him to be their kick returner and punt returner. And then they go and they get Keelan Robinson in the draft. I think that completely boxes Parker Washington out from being relevant in the special teams game. There were some people that wanted him to be a kick returner or and punt returner for the Jags, and I think this just this makes it so he's no longer relevant in that, and he can focus a little bit more on being that fourth wide receiver. Devin Duvernay, I think, is the guy that you want if you're looking for kick returns and punt returns. And if Keelan Robinson looks better at the kick return duties, I could see him being the primary kick returner. We're talking the new NFL rules where you have two guys back there. So there's probably going to, most teams are probably going to do a primary and secondary guy, but they could also end up saying, hey, just split it. Duvernay, you get the right side of the field, and Keelan, you get the left side or something like that. So we'll have to see exactly how all that shakes out, especially the new rules. They're going to affect the kick returners so much for a lot of these teams that have multiple good options. But Duvernay, I fully expect to be the punt returner.
So overall here for the Jags this coming season, I mean, I'm expecting Trevor Lawrence to hopefully be a little bit better, take a little bit more of a step for a team that should be, you know, in the playoff conversation at least. Running back Travis Etienne, I really like him, but he's going to have to probably you know, give up a little bit of his role to some of these other guys, because I just don't know if Etienne is going to be able to keep up with this massive workload he has. But he's still going to be, you know, a top 10 fantasy running back for me. Receivers, I really am a little bit higher on Brian Thomas Jr. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. I think I have him in my top 25 dynasty wide receivers right now. So I really like BTJ. I think he's going to come in and be better than what Calvin Ridley was last year for the Jags. You obviously have Kirk there. You have Evan Engram. You have Gabe Davis coming in too. So I really think this is Lawrence's best offensive weapons that he has. That offensive line just needs to improve a little bit for him. So hopefully this year we'll see what happens with the Jags. What are your final thoughts there on the Jags?
Yeah, I think the Jags have a lot of the skill pieces that they need, but the question is, does everything around it really solidify? If it does, then they could end up being a team that exceeds expectations. But it's one of those things where I could also see them being totally middle of the pack they don't have anybody that is a top tier fantasy player, and that you just end up with a bunch of guys that are more depth pieces for your team. And if I had to take a bet, I would end up putting it there. I just don't think that they've made the upgrades, especially at the offensive line, that I feel like they need to really take it to the next level. But we also see that sometimes what we think an offensive line grade is going to be just completely changes one year to the next. And so it might be that that's what happens this coming year. We'll just have to kind of wait and see how it is after the first couple weeks of the season.
All right, we will see you guys next time for the Tennessee Titans, and we'll finish up the AFC South.